Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
So this is session 3 of Hearing God's Voice. We entitled it Practical Ways to Grow. And what we're going to do tonight in this last session, I am really liking this. Feel like I've got two suns behind me. This is awesome. One before me. So this is good. So in this session, what we're going to do is it's going to be pretty simple. We're going to touch on some practical ways to posture our lives so we can hear God's voice better. We're going to just talk about some practical lifestyle things. And then we're going to do some practical exercises. I mean, we're not going to go through all the exercises here, but I'm going to give you some just like, hey, if you're trying to learn how to hear God's voice better, or you're trying to press in, here's 5 things you can do and that will help. And then lastly, we're going to call the leaders up here, and we want to pray for you. Just a prayer, a time of impartation to just say, Lord, stir it up, speak to us more, let us hear you more clearly. So this is just tonight is about as practical as it can come regarding hearing the voice of the Lord. And my desire was to end this series with so much of that practical stuff, so give you some takeaways. I can remember when I was just getting started in trying to hear the Lord's voice, and because of my limited amount of relationships and just the environment that I was in, there wasn't hardly anybody I could talk to about trying to hear the voice of the Lord. All I could do was read books, and I am so grateful those books existed. But man, if I would have just had somebody give me some of the stuff that I'm going to give you guys tonight, my life would have been a lot easier a lot earlier on. And so, I'm not saying that everything I'm going to say tonight is going to be super helpful, but I can promise you that if you don't have any other resources, which many of you do, but if you don't have any other resources, the stuff that I've just kind of mined in my personal life and seen in the Word and gleaned from others regarding trying to hear the voice of the Lord will be a great help to those of you who are especially just getting started and trying to hear His voice. And I could just remember the frustration of that first couple of years, especially of trying to hear God's voice, knowing that He was speaking, knowing the Bible verses about it, and just not really knowing a roadmap. Like, what do I do? How does it work? Is this real? I mean, just having those questions. And I was looking for practical instruction about what to do, and I just didn't have a lot of practical instruction. I'd have cool stories. Again, the biographies were great. Hearing the stories, God speaking, it was super encouraging, kind of kept me in the hunt. But there wasn't a lot of like step-by-step, hey, stop doing this, start doing this kind of stuff. And so I want to make it easier for those that follow in the footsteps of me, of you, of whoever else. I just want to get some stuff and let's put it on a CD and make it, something people can listen to if it can be helpful to those that are beginning a journey in trying to hear the voice of the Lord. So that's really where this is going tonight. Well, I'll just say it. If we understand the greatest commandment to love the Lord our God with all our heart, then we understand the essential nature of loving God is a walk of obedience. And when we're trying to hear God's voice, there is very few things that can get in the way, quite like sin. It's not that God can't speak to you if you have sin in your life, unrepentant sin, but it is definitely a deterrent for sure. And so, just as a very practical lifestyle point, so this is just talking lifestyle, we want to understand that every aspect of the kingdom of God, whether we're pursuing the gifts of the Spirit, or whether we're pursuing our calling in God, or we're pursuing, whatever else that we might find in the Word of God that we go, ooh, I want that. Even the areas of, increase in finance or in anointing or whatever it is, we want to understand that central to all of these things is the pursuit of God first in a walk, in a lifestyle of holiness, of an obedience. And so I just put down some scriptures that I'll, read off to you here out of Luke 11, John 14, and Psalm 66 that I just want to read to you because they just talk about the blessings that come with a life dedicated to obedience. Many things that the Lord tells us are going to be issues of obedience. As we're trying to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord, we want to understand that many times what the Lord's going to speak to us about, He's actually going to talk to us about sin in our lives, about bad attitudes, about issues that He wants to iron out or sharp corners He wants to sand down. And so as we're talking about how to hear the voice of the Lord, we want to understand that the Word of God is going to be our ally because it's going to tell us 100 things that we can work on. And that as we listen for the voice of the Lord, we want to understand that many times He's going to be speaking to us about us. And we want to respond in obedience. When the Holy Spirit's speaking to us about areas that He wants to work on, we want to respond in obedience to those areas, just like we would respond to the Word of God. And that by doing so, by obeying, the Lord opens up more to us. If we're faithful with little, we'll be faithful with more. Being obedient to the voice of the Lord, even as we hear Him dealing with areas of our lives and sin and those kinds of things, will help us to fine-tune our ear and our character to be able to hear so much more about whatever else is going on in our life. I've just had this subject about hearing the voice of the Lord. I am so often surprised that I want to have a conversation with the Lord about this thing in my life, this thing that hurts, or that I really want to see God do, or that's pressing, or that I'm really excited about. I'm going to have a conversation about it. Like, God, let's sit down, let's schedule an appointment where I get to come into your office and we talk about this issue, this thing. And so many times I walk into that office to have that appointment, and the Lord wants to talk to me about this thing over here. There wasn't even anything on my radar. Wasn't anything I was thinking about at all. In fact, it might even be something that stings, something I don't particularly like. And the truth of the matter is, if the Lord wants to talk, let's talk about what He wants to talk about. I promise He's a lot smarter than you or me. So if He's saying, no, we really need to have a conversation about this issue, even though you think you need to have a conversation with Him right now about this thing, let's just go with the Lord and have that conversation. So regarding a life of obedience in these points that we're going to make here, the first one is living in obedience. These are all under a lifestyle choices, things that we can do in our life to posture ourselves to be able to hear Him better. Here we go. Jesus replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Those are blessed, hear God and obey God. That's just, there's a blessing right there. John 14:24, "He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not of my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." And this is Jesus again, passage we're pretty familiar with around here, about Jesus talking about the importance of obedience to His teaching. We want to be those that obey His teaching because those are the ones that He calls friends, and that when we obey His teaching, we're obeying the plans and the purposes of the Father. We get to draw near. And then lastly, this Psalm 66, "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God, who's not rejected my prayer or withheld His love for me." This idea of pursuing the Lord in a way that is outside of obeying Him is not Christianity. That's something else. That's crazy talk. And unfortunately, there's too much of that is probably happening. And so we just want to be those that just stand and say, man, we can't cherish sin in our heart. We can't hold that sin in our heart. God won't even listen to us. And as those that are trying to have a conversation with the Lord and grow in the prophetic, hearing God's voice, we want to understand that repentance and dealing with our sin issues is actually key to being able to hear the Lord and grow in our lives with the Lord. We can't hold sin closed or undisclosed, rather. We've got to just admit it to the Lord, not cherish it in our hearts, and ask the Lord to speak to us. And He says, and then He'll hear our voice and He'll answer. So the first was living in obedience. The second point, lifestyle choice, is learning to wait on Him. This verse in Psalm 46, I think I've told you guys this before, but this verse has such value and meaning to me because of my early times of trying to hear the Lord's voice. If we will learn to be still and meditate on who the Lord is, He promises that He will reveal things to us in such a way that He will receive exaltation. Look at this verse, Psalm 46:10. "Be still and know that I am God." Now, this is talking about just meditating on Him, getting quiet before Him, you know, just dialing down and learning to wait on Him. But look at the next part of this verse. It's not unrelated. It is connected to the first part. It's, you may as well say, "Be still and know that I am God. And if you do, I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth." How is God going to receive exaltation in the nations by you being still? Because to the ones that are still that learn to wait before Him, He speaks and He gives the secrets of His counsel. And when you understand the will of the Lord, you can move forward in such powerful ways that will wind up bringing exaltation to God in big ways. And I've seen that happen a number of times, just sitting and waiting before the Lord, and he begins to speak to me. And as a result of what he speaks, when I go and minister out of what he spoke to me, or when I go and give that word to somebody, or I go do that, you see the Lord receive exaltation. You see his name be great in that moment, and people glorify God as a result of what you heard in the stillness and meditating on who he is. It's just a powerful verse. When I first heard that, when I first came across Psalm 46:10, and really started to meditate on that and just look at that principle, I felt like the Lord was speaking to me also about the other time that God said, "Be still." And it was Jesus talking to the storm. And to the storm, he stands up in the boat and he says, "Be still," or "Quiet, be still." And it was actually, I believe, was actually Jesus alluding even to this verse. Because what happened as soon as Jesus stilled the waves? Well, he received glory. All of them said, "Who is this that even the waves obey this man? This is not a man, this is God." Like, he received exaltation. And I saw that connection point. I felt like the Lord was speaking to me about learning to turn the storm that's in my mind to stillness so that he can receive glory. Learning how to quiet my spirit, my soul, my mind, but specifically my mind, because all those thoughts racing all the time. Learning how to still my mind that I could then hear from the Lord and then bring him glory through whatever it is that he would say or do or speak or want. There's something about the storm that is in each of your minds that we, if we want to learn how to grow in the voice of the Lord, we've got to learn to tame that storm. We've got to tell it to be quiet and be still. And I just thought, well, if Jesus can tell a storm to be quiet, I can say, "Quiet, oh my soul." I can say, "Mind, be still. Mind, quiet down." You can speak to your mind just like Jesus can speak to a storm. And I promise you, your storm that's going on in your mind is a whole lot easier to still than the storm was that day. That's a big storm. You got only a little one going on in your brain. But the principle is the same. Learning how to be still before the Lord and just know that he's God, meditating on who he is. Next piece of this idea of learning to wait on him, is doing it daily, developing a habit of showing up before the Lord in a place of waiting on him daily. Not just 5 minutes a day, but some dedicated time, and then even learning to keep our heart posture there all day long. Proverbs 8 speaks of this. It says, "Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway." The voice most often in Proverbs that's the me, you know, the man who listens to me, is the voice of wisdom. It's the voice of the Lord. It's those that wait on the Lord. "Blessed is the man who listens to me," which means you've got to hear him. Well, how do you hear the Lord? He says, "Watch daily at my doors, wait at my doorway." Be those that set aside that time to wait upon him, to listen for him, to be those that are not a stranger. I mean, a person who waits at your door every day. Listen, I had this cat, Tomber Bimber Bomber, You're the One. I loved this cat, okay? I know, funny name, make fun, it's fine. You're just jealous that you didn't have that cat. This cat was 36 pounds, he was awesome. He eventually died of tumors, he was very large. He was starved as a child cat, and then we adopted him and we fed him whatever he wanted to eat. His favorite thing was Cheetos and jalapenos. Okay, Tomber Bimber Bomber, You're the One. Now this is what this cat would do, okay? I would get out of the shower in the morning, 36-pound cat. It's like a small elephant, okay? I would get out of the shower in the morning, and this thing's favorite thing to do was to be waiting for me to get out of the shower so it could rub its gnarly cat hair up against my wet legs. I know that sounds so gross. This is the most faithful thing that God has ever created. Tomber Bimber Bomber, You're the One. Don't mock. So this cat, every day, he would wait for me as I get out of the shower, and he'd rub up against my legs. I get all this cat hair on. I was like, "Just, you're so awesome, I'll put up with it." Every day I'd come home from school. I'd come home, ride the bus. I rode the bus every day of my life through my sophomore year. I was that guy. It was awful. I made a lot of bus drivers crazy. So I come home every day. I walk from the bus stop. I come home. I walk in the front door. Every day, Tomber Bimber Bomber, you're the one standing right there with his perched, just ready for me. And as soon as I walk in, he'd start meowing at me. Just that cat loved me. He was waiting daily at the doorway for me. So that was a little connection. That's really just a story that I just wanted to tell. But the point with this is that to watch daily, to wait daily, I mean, that takes faithfulness. That takes serious intentionality. And here's the deal. Anybody that's watching daily, waiting daily at your door is one who you're going to become quite familiar with. And that's the point of it. The Lord's saying, come to me, come to me. Don't make me come find you. You come to my door. You wait, you watch, you come there. And don't do it once an hour, every now and then. Come daily. Some days you may not even find me. That's okay. Come again tomorrow. And again tomorrow. And again tomorrow. And you just imagine, you know, in this case, pretend that the guy, say a real life situation, pretend that the guy is very, very busy. And he only comes home maybe 2 days a month, and they're random. Well, you would miss him if you weren't there daily. And there's something about this that the Lord wants us to show up daily, because you just don't know. What if the Lord was going to speak yesterday? He had it circled on his calendar. He wanted to do something. There was something available. It wasn't something he was going to force. He wasn't going to press the issue. It was something available that he wanted to speak, that he wanted to do, that he wanted to inject into you, that if you would have asked, he would have said yes. But yesterday, we missed it. Yesterday, we weren't waiting. We weren't in a posture of waiting daily. Well, what if the Lord would give you that same thing, just because it's a bonus, tomorrow, just because you showed up at his door, waiting, listening, pressing in? I don't know exactly how all that works. I just know this. If we wait daily at his doors, we're blessed. And we get to listen to him, and we get to hear him. And if we don't wait daily, we miss out substantially. We miss out significant ways. So we want to be those that learn how to wait on the Lord and show up and wait at his doors daily. We also want to stay engaged. I love this passage in Luke 12 where Jesus, he gives this parable. And with regard to us trying to hear the voice of the Lord, it's not just that we would show up for every day show up for 5 minutes, but that we would begin to build a posture in our lifestyle of waiting on it. It says this: be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, you can immediately open the door for him. That word immediately. Not even just daily. Not that you would show up daily and kind of check in. But that you would have a posture of waiting on the Lord in such a way that if he speaks, you'd hear it that moment. You would hear immediately, and you'd be able to open the door to him. I just say this. If the Lord has got 100 knock on my door appointments in my life, I want to be standing right there. As soon as he knocks, I don't even want him to get the second knock in. I want to open that door and say, give me. What do you got to say? What are we doing today? As soon as the Lord would knock and open that door, be knocking, I want to have that door open that I could receive whatever it is that he wants to say, whatever he wants to do. And then the regard to us hearing the voice of the Lord, it has something to do with the posture of us staying in a waiting position. I'll give you a simple for instance. Don't just have the quiet time that morning of showing up before his door and then disconnect the rest of your day. Keep a listening ear. Listen for that door. Listen. Don't do so many things in our life that we wouldn't be able to hear that door being knocked on if it turned out that Jesus was knocking. He was speaking. He was ready to have a conversation with us. I have had so many of the things that the Lord has said to me and done have happened at moments that I wasn't ready for. He wanted to start a conversation. And if I wasn't listening, if I wasn't engaged, or if I was too busy, if I was too engaged in whatever I was doing at that moment and not willing to listen, not open, I would have missed out on things that he wanted to say. I've experienced that one enough times to know this is real. We want to be those that keep our hearts listening, waiting, engaged, waiting on the Lord all of our days. And another piece of this waiting is we want to shift our perspective. We don't want to just have I am seeking God to get. I am coming before the Lord because I need him to speak to me. I want to hear his voice. We're going to have a shift of perspective where we're looking at our waiting as our source of fuel. Instead of looking at our waiting as like payment for a prophetic word. I've got to pay X amount of hours of waiting on the Lord for him to pay out a prophetic word. Instead of thinking that way, we want to look at this idea of waiting upon him daily and even moment by moment as our very fuel, our very connection to the Lord. We want to think of it instead of as a way to get something from him. We want to look at it as the way that we have our strength in our life with him. Look at what Isaiah 40 says. Isaiah 40, 31, on this very point, passage you guys are probably familiar with. But look what this talks about in this waiting. It says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Their strength, their fuel, their grace to live, their ability to make it through life, their strength to be able to do their job, the grace to be able to be a mom, the strength, the grace, the fuel that comes from God to be able to live our lives. And look, it doesn't say those who hear the prophetic word will renew their strength. That's probably true too. Prophetic words are strengthening. This says those who just wait. Think about the doctor's office, okay? You're sitting there. It's supposed to be 10-minute wait. It turns out to be an hour and a half. How many people like that hour and a half wait? Nobody. Learning to wait on the Lord, if we have a perspective of the doctor's office, then we're going to get burnt out and we're going to stop waiting. But Isaiah says, no, those who learn to wait, and I'm going to add in as a lifestyle, those who learn to wait on the Lord, they will actually find their strength in the waiting. Not even in the deliverance, not even in the breakthrough moment. That God has a way of envisioning, empowering, fueling, strengthening those who wait. Waiting on him actually can be our great reward. The waiting, just the attempt, the try to reach to the Lord. The attempt in our heart to reach out to him, the waiting on him, there's a promise that they are ones who will have renewed strength. We've probably, many of us, I bet, of you, have seen this in action in your lives as you just committed time before the Lord just to wait on him, just to try to hear his voice, just to try. Maybe you didn't even hear that much. But in that waiting, you found fuel, and there were seasons where maybe you were doing it really well for weeks, months, maybe a year or two, where you're doing it well. And you look back on those weeks, months, years, and there might have been some difficulty in your life. There might have been, issues or problems that weren't being solved. But you were alive in God. Your heart was alive because you were learning to wait on him. And this is a promise from the scripture. This isn't just a good idea. It says, the ones that wait on the Lord, they will renew strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run, not be weary. They'll walk and not be faint. This all talks about living life. It's power from God to empower you to live, to do better at school, to be good in your relationships, to be able to walk out in righteousness, to be a good leader in whatever capacity the Lord's given you, be able to do your job well. This stuff comes from learning to wait on the Lord. And yet, learning to wait on the Lord is the very thing that postures us to be able to hear his voice. And so I just look at that and go, if we get a perspective shift, and instead of waiting on the Lord in order to get something, God, give me a word, give me an increase in this area, do this thing for me, instead of that being our reason, we just go, waiting is the way to live. We are those that wait on the Lord. Maybe a new way that we could define Christianity is the waiters, those that wait. We are those that wait on the Lord. And if we do that, we'll renew strength. We'll actually have zeal for life. We'll be able to do things well. It's a promise from the scripture. All right, another way to posture our lives is to fill our minds with the word. You guys remember in the first session, I gave you a bunch of Bible verses, a lot of them out of John 14, 15, and 16. Gave you a bunch of Bible verses that promise that if we learn all those verses refer to the Lord speaking, that his promise, that he will speak. I will speak. I'm a speaker. This is who I am. And we read all those Bible verses. If we will fill our minds with those Bible verses, it will fill us with faith. And we're told that without faith, it's impossible to please God. We want to fill ourselves with faith, expecting God to speak. I'll tell you what, here lately, there's some specific things. Many of you guys can probably even guess what they are. Some specific things that I'm like, believing God for and asking him to do and praying, and God, like, God, come on already, let's do some stuff. And praying and speak, you know, seeking the Lord on those things. And it's easy to give up in the pursuit if I don't fill myself again with the revelation that God does speak. God is one who is promised to speak. Lord, your word says that you do speak, that you are a good shepherd, that you lead your sheep, that we hear your voice. Your word says that your spirit is here to teach us all things and to reveal the future. And so by filling ourselves with those Bible verses, it gives us a power to be able to press on. Again, this idea of how are we going to cultivate a lifestyle of being able to hear him. One of those things is faith, and faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. And we got to hear that word of God over and over and over. So I want to encourage you guys, if you don't know five Bible verses that talk about God speaking, memorize them and quote them back to yourself all the live long day. Because it's the word of God that's immutable. You can't change it. And as a result of that, it gives us faith because it's solid when my circumstances say God doesn't speak. When I haven't heard him speak today or last week or last year. When I haven't heard him speak, the word of God reminds us again that God does speak. It's a powerful way to live because it fills our heart with faith. I'm going to skip through the rest of that section and go to the next point is learning to eagerly desire prophecy. Another lifestyle choice. And we want to eagerly desire the prophetic. And you go, well, how is that a big deal? What's that about? You know, if the word of God only said it once, I don't know that we would make it quite as big of a deal. But the word over and over gives testimony about the importance of us pressing in to hear God more. Remember, we're doing this whole thing on hearing God's voice. This series could be called prophecy. I mean, it's the same thing. Hearing God's voice, prophecy, God talking to us, God's side of prayer. It's all the same stuff. We pray to God, we open our mouth, we talk. God prays back, if you will. He talks back. Okay? When we pray, or when we talk to God, it's called prayer. When God talks, it's called prophecy. All right? So all these things are the same deal. And the Word of God says, eagerly desire prophecy. Eagerly desire a listening ear. Eagerly press in that God would speak to you more. Because if you hear God more, you'll live better. If you hear God more, you'll know how things work better. If you hear God more, you'll understand how to navigate your circumstances. If you hear God more, you'll be able to encourage people more. I mean, hearing God is like the greatest commodity on the planet. I mean, that is just powerful because God's voice and perspective outweighs everything and helps us to overcome difficulty and circumstances. Eagerly desiring prophecy. Read some verses here. Talking about this very point. Start in Numbers 11, and I got like five or six of them. I'm just going to read them through real quick, and then we'll go, cool. Numbers 11, verse 29. I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. Moses thought it would be a good idea that everybody was a prophet, because he understood how powerful the gift of prophecy is. 1 Corinthians 12, eagerly desire the greater gifts. He's talking about supernatural gifts, and specifically healing is on the list. A chapter or two later, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Especially, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. That's really good. Especially, make sure prophecy is at the top of the list of the things that you're desiring. Really? Yeah, really. Also in the same chapter, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. I think it's a great idea. But I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless he interprets so that the church may be edified. It says the one with the gift of prophecy is greater. It's far better deal than the gift of tongues. And Paul just got done saying, I pray in tongues more than all of you guys. I love praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is a great idea. He says, but if you want to understand how we rank this stuff, prophecy is way better. It's way more important that we would learn how to hear God's voice and that we would then be able to speak forth and live out of the abundance of the revelation that the Lord gives us. We want to be those that hear God's voice. I just look at Paul and go, Paul, you like talked about this like this should be normal. 14:12, since you're eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. And again, the verse that we just read was talking about either prophecy, which edifies the church, or tongues if it's interpreted. And just so you know, if tongues is interpreted, boom, you just got upgraded. Now it's prophecy. Okay? And so now Paul says, since you're eager to have all these spiritual gifts, and he's like, that's great. He said, just try to go after gifts that are going to like help the church. Gift of prophecy. Boom. 13:39. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Here, I mean, that's a lot of Bible verses on a single subject. Eagerly desire prophecy. Eagerly desire to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord. Take the 3-session hear the voice of God class and run with it. Like, eagerly desire. It's not enough that we just have it in our lives, this concept. Again, over and over, this term eager, an eager desire. You guys can all think about the difference in your lives between the desires that you have and the burning desires. The ones that you are eager to see have happen in your life. The ones that you are very passionate about. It's the anytime somebody comes and says, what can you pray for? Or what can I pray for you about? Your answer is always the same every time. It's those eager desires, those ones that you're like, oh, I gotta have this one. There's a difference, and apparently there's a difference to God, between, yeah, I'd like you to pray for this, and oh, I gotta have this one. There's something about eager that the Lord sees. And there's something about the Holy Spirit's response to an eager heart, an eager pursuit. And so one of the lifestyle choices we want to do is we want to eagerly desire to hear the voice of the Lord, eagerly desire to grow in the gift of prophecy. Not just enough that we would hear God's voice a little. We want to be eager to press in, to hear His voice more. And I'll tell you this just from personal experience. The seasons of my life where I was doing the eager thing, I was growing in hearing the voice of the Lord more. And the seasons where I've been distracted, which have been the majority, I have not grown near as much. There's something about the Lord responding to hunger, to an eager desire. And if you needed Bible verses, I just gave you a bunch of them. It's in there. Eagerly desire to hear the voice of the Lord, to prophesy, to the gifts of the prophetic. Eagerly desire it. And if you do, the promise is He'll increase. I just love that about Him. And part of that eagerness, part of the way that we posture our lives before Him, is we ask for more of the Holy Spirit. This is another way to cultivate a lifestyle. Is we ask for more of the Holy Spirit. That we pursue the Lord in such a way where we ask Him, and like you actually have conversation with the Lord, and you say, Holy Spirit, give me more of You. Let me have more encounter. Let me have more of the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit of prophecy is the Spirit of Jesus. I mean, it's not like there's a spirit of prophecy, a spirit of this, a spirit of that, a spirit of... There's one Holy Spirit, only one. So if you get more of that one Holy Spirit, you get more of what that Holy Spirit does and what's He about and how He feels. You get more of the encounter of that one Holy Spirit. There's only one Spirit of God. And to get more of the Holy Spirit in our lives, interaction, baptizing our minds, changing our thoughts, changing our ideas, to have more of the presence of the Lord active in our lives will increase all kinds of things, including hearing His voice. Now look, I gave you some of the prayers in the New Testament. All these prayers, if you barrel them down, they're saying, Holy Spirit, give us more of You. Here we go. Ephesians 1:17, 3:16, and Romans 15 and Romans 8. In these verses, again, it's Paul. He's speaking to the churches and he's giving them language of what they should be praying for. He's giving them equipment so that they could know how to get an increased measure of the activity of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And so he's giving them prayer language. He's like telling them what he prays for them. And I'll tell you what, if you're smart back then, you're taking notes when Paul opens his mouth. You're saying, hey, what you got to say? You pray like that? Okay, I'm stealing that prayer. Paul goes, that's a good idea. I got it from the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Aren't these people already saved? Isn't this the church of Ephesus? Yeah, they are. Paul says, I pray for more of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, what are you going to do with wisdom and revelation? You're going to hear more from God. That's what that means. Operating in the prophetic. It's really what Ephesians 1:17 is all about. Is an increased measure of the prophetic giftings of hearing God's voice. Of tuning into the Holy Spirit to know what He's thinking, saying, feeling, doing. increased measure, 3:16 out of Ephesians. I pray that out of his glorious riches he would strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. More Holy Spirit inside your guts. Obviously, the Holy Spirit, it's not like he's more or less. He is the Spirit of God. But as far as our capacity to experience him, our capacity to hear him, our capacity to have the Holy Spirit just overflowing out of us, these are all terms that the Bible is very comfortable with, and God's comfortable with it. So I don't know exactly theologically how it works, but you can get more Holy Spirit in you. And I want more. And that's what we pray for so many times when we're saying, Holy Spirit, come into a room, increase your presence in the room. Well, it says in the Psalms that his Spirit's everywhere. His Spirit's, you can't escape the places where his Spirit already is. But what we can do is we can encounter more, whether we're talking about a corporate room in worship or we're talking about an individual encountering more of the Holy Spirit in our personal lives. Pray that out of his glorious riches, he'd strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner man. Praying for more of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. More of the Holy Spirit just flowing within us. It is a good way to pray. It's a good way to live. If we're trying to cultivate hearing the voice of the Lord, ways posture our lives so that we could hear him clearer, hear him more, I'm telling you, we want to pray, God, speak to me, lead me, give me more of your Holy Spirit. And then this last one here, Romans 8:28, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Holy Spirit, help me in my weakness. I am weak. You are big and strong. You do the math, God. This will go a lot better if you help me in my weakness. If you leave me to myself, it's going to go bad. Praying for an increased measure of the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We want to cultivate lifestyles where, in order to be able to hear him better, we're posturing ourselves. There's things that we're doing in our lives intentionally. There's things that we're avoiding intentionally. In order to create as big of a bucket to catch as much rain as possible. You know, back in the day, get these big old buckets. Think about a water tower with no roof. And that's one of the ways that they would gather rain catchers, they call it. Because there were just so many ways that they weren't able to transport water. It was really difficult. And so when it would rain, they'd have these big rain catchers. And lots of times even tarps and stuff extended out just to catch as much rain as possible. We want our tarps coming out of that thing 100 miles in every direction. We want to catch as much rain as possible. And there's so much we can do in our personal lives that we can posture ourselves to hear his voice more clearly, to hear him better, and to have just an increased catcher, if you will. And then lastly, on a way to posture ourselves is that we would embrace humility when we miss it. Listen, I have found that, we know that the word says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And what we want to understand is that there are going to be times where you felt like you heard the Lord and you missed it or you misinterpreted it or something happened or even you got it. And God did something to make it look like, to make you look stupid. I'm telling you, God is into making you look stupid sometimes in order to increase humility. Because the Lord is more concerned about your humility than your reputation. He cares way more that you would be humble than he does that you would look cool to people. And so sometimes God sets things up to make you look foolish. I'll just tell you that on the front end. It's a very unfortunate part of this relationship that we signed up for. And it is so a protection so that God doesn't have to hurt us. God hurts us little, so he doesn't have to hurt us big. He is way more concerned about your humility than he is about your reputation. So sometimes he will set things up in order to make you look stupid because you looking stupid doesn't feel good, does it? And by looking stupid, you get humbled. And God says in James 4 that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Well, if you can get to humility on your own, good for you. If you need a little help, God likes you that much. He will help you look stupid. He will. I've seen him do it a number of times in my life. And I just go, what was that about? And I just hear the Lord say, pride. Go, oh, snap. Couldn't you have told me beforehand? No, because you'd have just done it to get out of jail. It really wouldn't have been, you know, out of humility. You'd have just not wanted to get stung. Oh, okay, thank you. Thank you for loving me enough to humble me so that you don't have to oppose me. Who wants to be opposed by God? Okay, just humble me then. whatever you need to do, whatever, humble me, that's fine. You do whatever you need to do. I don't want to be in opposition to God. If I lose everything, I don't want to be in opposition to God. And God says he opposes the proud. So I just want to tell you this. When it comes to the prophetic, when you miss it, own it. Own it. Go out of your way to let whatever little people, group of people, big people, whatever, let people know, listen, I think I missed that one. I thought this was the Lord. Sure looks like I was wrong. It's so much better to eat it, because there's two other ways that you can respond. Way one, bad, is you're like, no, it was God, and you guys are just, I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know, I don't understand, but it was God, and you're just being arrogant. And maybe even it was the Lord. But by your arrogance to defend yourself, you wind up in pride. You wind up in opposition. Just eat it. Just, why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Why not rather look stupid? And the second one, it's almost as bad, and we all do it all the time. You just kind of brush it under the rug and don't talk about it. You just don't bring it up. You totally missed it. You just don't bring it up. You're just like, I don't know, let's just move on. Hey, who wants lunch? Anybody? Quesadillas, my house. We just like, don't deal with it. I'm just telling you, listen, this Bible verse, James 4, and it's a repeat of the word over and over. God stresses this point. I oppose pride. Every area in your life that has pride, I am in opposition to that, and it costs you, though you don't know it, because I'm in opposition. And if I'm in opposition, it means I'm not releasing blessing. But I give grace to the humble. Every area where there's humility in your life, whether I did it to you, you offered it of yourself, you were right and still chose the low road and went humble. Every area of humility, I release grace. I just want more grace. I just want more grace. And so let's just go the low road. You want to talk about a way to posture yourself to be able to hear more from God? Embrace humility when you miss it. Well, embrace humility all the time. But specifically when we're hearing the voice of the Lord, just embrace humility. Just, God, I missed that one. And the Lord will give you grace. Isn't that much better than being opposed? And all you had to do was look a little stupid before some people? Who cares? You got God on your team. I would rather have God on my team and look so dumb to all of you. And just know in the secret place, God's like, I'm so proud of you. I'm going to release grace. Grace to hear me. Grace to walk with me. Grace in your personal life. Grace in your finances. Grace, 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 grace. But grace comes through humility. And opposition from the hand of God comes through arrogance. And sometimes that arrogance, he doesn't even address, but he's still withholding as a result of that secret arrogance in your heart, the secret pride. You know it's there. He knows it's there. Maybe nobody else knows it's there. And he is opposing you as a result of it. And you don't even know because he never even put his finger on it to identify it. Oh God, just all of us right now, just agree with me in this prayer. Reveal the secret areas of pride. Reveal the secret areas of pride in all of our hearts, God. Identify them. Help us, God, that we can repent and walk with you so we can receive your favor and your grace. And we can just do what you want us to do and live for you. In Jesus' name. All right, I feel better. All right, well, let's transition now. Let's talk about some ways to walk this out. All right, all of this has been lifestyle stuff. I just want to give some practicals. And I would encourage you, if you're in a, hey, I'd like to grow in the voice of the Lord, good mood, get out something to write on. Because I'm going to give you guys a couple of simple ways, and we're going to kind of go through them pretty quick. There is this exercise that lots of people in the prayer movement do. Just stay, try to hear the voice of the Lord, just grow in relationship with him. And some call it a Bible study hall. Some people just call it, read it, write it, pray it, ask it, record it, talk it out, whatever. I mean, they've got all these ways of talking about it. People have sworn by this thing for years that this is a way that the Lord wants to speak. And man, is there a way we can actually just get that slide off the screen? I just can't. Man, there's too many bullets. I'm just distracted. What a weak person. Okay, Bible study exercise. Okay, here's the gist of it. You take a Bible verse. Think short, not big. Think slow, not fast. This isn't a marathon read. You're not trying to read through 10 chapters, in an hour. This is actually the opposite. You're trying to figure out how to spend an hour on 1/4 of a word. Like you... And you don't even know what the rest of the word is. Just, Lord, speak to me about the letter G. I mean, you're trying to slow things down. You're going the exact opposite direction as speed reader, as, you know, I'm going to finish the Bible in a week kind of deal. You're going the opposite direction to accomplish a completely different thing. And I say do the other thing too. It's great. Get big chunks of Bible in you. In fact, I'll tell you this right now, just a little side point. Any of you in the room who haven't read the whole Bible through a couple of times, you need to put that on your list of things to do. You got to get through the whole word. The whole word is important. You need the whole counsel of Scripture. But that's not what this is. This is the exact opposite. This is try to go so slow. It's not try to learn the word. It's try to learn the God of the word. And what you do is you take a simple Bible verse. If we can put the Psalm 34:8 up there, if there's a way to do that. You just take a simple Bible verse. And I've got, you know, a bunch of them. You guys can pick whatever Bible verse you want. But there's some verses that just like, they're just easier to like chew into. I don't know. It's just like easier to take and to slow down. The whole point of this is slow down with a Bible verse. And here's what you do. You read it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Then write it down. This is just an exercise that lots of people have done. They swear by it. I've done it a little bit. This one has not been as effective for me. But I know so many people that swear by this. I have to include it today because I think it's probably better than all the suggestions that I'll give you. It just hasn't been one that's been that awesome in my heart. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So you write it, or you read it, and then you write it. Part of the writing it down is just the repetition of it. Plus, when you write it, there's just something that just kind of, I don't know, you connect to it a little bit. And then pray it real slow, one word at a time. Instead of reading it, because when you read it, you're doing it out loud, like so that you can hear it. Then you just want to take it, you want to like pretend it's a prayer, and you go, Lord, just taste. Taste. Just slow. Each word. Slow. You're trying to spend, here's your objective. Fail at your objective and get better at it. Here's your objective. Spend an hour on Psalm 34:8. And so then if you only do 15 minutes, that's great. Because you've never spent 15 minutes in your life on a Bible verse. Aim for an hour. Just one Bible verse, an hour. Just slow down. Pray it real slow. And then ask him what each word means. Now you're having a conversation with him about the word taste. Lord, taste you, taste the Lord. How do you feel? Are you chewy? What does it mean to taste the Lord? Taste. I want to taste. The psalmist is telling me to do it. God, what was he thinking? Why does this mean? Just have a dialogue, have a conversation about each word. Obviously, you don't have to camp out on and the if you don't want to. But I'll tell you what, it's a little side story. So Tom Grossman loves this thing. There's nobody on the planet that does this thing more. He does a little Bible study hall, little exercise thing. And every time he does it, it's just anointed and God uses it. It's crazy. We're doing this one day, and the very first word was the. And it was the Lord something or other. I don't know, whatever the Bible verse was. And the Lord rocked my world on the word thee for 15 minutes. I mean, it was crazy. It really was, because it was just an anointed atmosphere. The Lord was doing something. He was just talking to me about not the Lord, not a Lord, but the Lord. The. It was just, he just kept stressing it. So really, there's revelation on any little word. Take each word, slow down, and ask him what he thinks about it. How does he feel about it? And then journal down some stuff. Record down whatever you feel like the Lord's showing you. What do you feel like he showed you? What thoughts came to mind? What pictures jumped into your head? What was he saying? What was he speaking through this word, through that taste? And so now you're talking about journaling it, praying it, reading it. I mean, you've got all these different, you know, attributes about it. If you have got the ability to do so, I would encourage you, sing it. Sing the word. Man, sing through that verse a few times. Just make up your own little melody in your heart. Sing it. Now you're singing the Bible back to God. Powerful. And talk to the Lord about what he shows you. So maybe he'll show you some pictures, show you some ideas. Feel free to take rabbit trails. You're in the middle of this and another Bible verse runs into your mind because of a similar word or similar idea. Go there. Look at it. Ask the Lord about how that relates back to this verse. I'm telling you, you're trying to turn Psalm 34:8 into an hour-long anointed God conversation, Bible study, interaction, talking. And what you're going to do is, here's the deal. The Word of God is His Word. He'll have a conversation with you about his word above a lot of things on the planet. It's his word. You're asking God about stuff God said. And he wrote it in the word. He wanted it recorded. You will find, you will learn how to hear the voice of the Lord so much more. If you can just start to get in a regular routine of asking him questions about his Bible. Because if you can start to hear his voice about how he feels about the word taste, you can hear that same voice about what to do with your finances. You can hear that same voice about how to handle the work situation, about how to do this discipleship issue. It's learning to hear his voice. It's not about the Bible study. It's not about learning the Bible. It's about an excuse, an on-ramp, a great opportunity to have a conversation with God. And you can do this anywhere. Even if you don't have your Bible in front of you, I bet you know at least one Bible verse you got memorized. You're stuck somewhere. You're stuck in a subway. We don't have subways, but pretend we did, because it just seems like a good picture to me. You're stuck on the subway for an hour, Bible-less, no phone service, nothing's working. And you got one Bible verse in your brain that you can remember. You can do this and spend that hour on the subway with nothing and do this. Taste. Taste and see. Taste. Talking to the Lord about the Word of God. You will find a treasure trove in this little exercise. Next point that I'll make. Again, now I'm giving you just practical ways to like try to hear the voice of the Lord. This next one, spending time silent before him. Some have found this very frustrating. I have found this to be one of the most rewarding ways for me personally to be able to encounter the Lord. And I think part of it is because I have such, I think the difficulty level to get my brain to slow down, because I'm so ADD and all over the map and, borderline schizophrenic. I think because all of those interesting attributes about my character and personality, I think there's a greater reward for us nut jobs like that if we can actually learn how to slow down and be quiet before God. And I have found that if I can sit in silence before the Lord and quiet my thoughts, say, quiet, be still. If I can say to my thoughts, no, I'm taking you captive and making them obedient to Christ. And right now, what we're doing in this little 30-minute period with the timer set so I don't have to look at the clock, right now, we're being silent, brain, so shut up. We're taking our thoughts captive and making them obedient to what the agenda is and say, no, I'm going to be silent before the Lord. I have found this to be one of the most breakthrough encounters in my personal walk with God, where his voice will start speaking clearly in the silence. It's almost like we had to get all the clutter out of the way. You know, imagine some rare gem in a giant storage shed, and it's down on the floor somewhere and about in the middle. You got to get all the junk out of there to be able to get to the gem. I see that so many times in my personal life regarding being silent before him. And it's so hard for me. Oh my gosh, I can't imagine a single one of you that it would be harder for. This is such a struggle. But I have found it to be so rewarding when I press through. And pressing through has been tough. But when I've done it, I've begun to hear the Lord in the clearest ways in my entire life. There was a season where I was really committed to this. And I would hear the Lord just start speaking to me in paragraphs, in ways it was awesome. And I could count on it. I just knew if I could press through, just get quiet and sit there and shut up, mind. Stop it already. Don't think about this. Don't think about that. Don't think about a color. Don't think about what I'm going to do later. Shut up, mind. Be quiet. Get still before the Lord and go, God, speak. And just wait in silence. I have found that to be a way that I've experienced some significant breakthrough in hearing the voice of the Lord. And I'll also tell you, it is tough. It is tough. So I want to give you the whole disclaimer on the front end. Devotionally praying the word. This would be the next one. Begin to pray the word. As you read, stop often and talk to the Lord. So instead of the rapid pace read through, 10 chapters in an hour, instead of that, and instead of the slow down 10 words in an hour, do the happy middle, okay? Open up the Gospel of John. Just start reading. Read slow. I mean, you're not in a hurry. And again, it's not about how many chapters can I get done. It's about encountering God. Read slow enough that you're able to process what you're reading. And every time a word, a phrase, an idea feels good, stop. And just talk to God about it. You're reading. You're just kind of casually reading. And you just, some idea jumps out, and you just go, oh, Lord, yeah. What about that? Talk to me. What do you have to say? What were you thinking? How did you feel? What does this mean to me? Just have a dialogue with him. Again, using the word as an on-ramp onto a highway. The highway is called encounter with God, hearing God's voice. The on-ramp is called pacing in the back with your Bible open, reading. But it's not to read. It's to encounter God. So as soon as you start to encounter him a little bit, as soon as an idea seems like a good one, as soon as a phrase seems interesting, stop and talk to the Lord. Look at it as an on-ramp, a way to begin to dialogue with him. Next one, ask him questions. Everybody who's trying to hear the voice of the Lord, who's trying to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord, I encourage to do this. Ask God 100 questions a day, every day. God, what's going to happen next? God, what's that guy about to do? God, how do you feel about this? Lord, do you have anything you want to say to me? Just questions, 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 questions. But don't just ask and then keep going. Ask and then listen. If you will do this, you will hear God speak more. I just propose to you that if you're in the process of, like if you're in a spot right now where you just feel like you don't hear God's voice very often, what if you asked him 100 questions a day and he only spoke about two? You would then hear God two times a day, every day for the rest of your life. That's pretty good. Sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. I encourage you, ask God questions. How do you feel about this situation? What's going to happen at my job? What do I do about this? What color is the sky going to be tomorrow? I mean, there's no end. You're a kid. You're a child. And you're God's. And he knows all things. And there's no question that he is, like, you know, thrown off by. And what if he told you the answer to what's the color of the sky tomorrow? What if he told you that? And it was something wild. Like, we had this crazy pink-purple thing happen the other day. It was awesome. What if the Lord would have told you that day before? And you're like, oh, well, we'll see. You wake up and go, pink and purple! Woo! People are like, what is wrong with you? God told me that yesterday. How cool is that? Mm-hmm. Listen, God wants to talk to you. I propose you're not asking him enough questions. Fix it. Fix the problem. Ask him more questions, but listen to the answer. Don't just ask and move on. Listen, you want to say anything? Anything? Come on, I'm listening. You ask him more questions, you'll hear more answers. He'll speak to you more. Don't have because you don't ask. Ask him for his perspective. This is such a great one, especially for people and situations. This one is so life-altering. If I can have our leadership come up here, we're going to pray for you guys here in just a minute. But if you will start asking God for his perspective, just asking him questions. Lord, how do you feel about that? Lord, how do you feel about this person? How do you see this situation? Lord, what are your thoughts on this? Especially difficulties and struggles, the Lord will so often give you insight into situations that you would not have otherwise had. And by getting that insight, the Lord will strengthen you greatly in knowing how to minister to those people, help those people, understand people's hurts. And so I just want to encourage you as just another way to hear his voice. And again, here's the point. All of these are on-ramps to the same highway. The highway is hearing God's voice. And if we're trying to learn how to hear his voice, no matter what on-ramp we take to get onto that highway, once we're on it, now we know how to hear his voice better, which will then help us in every area of life. That's the whole point here. Now, I'm going to end with this as far as a teaching time, and then I just want to just encourage you guys to be praying and asking the Lord here to speak to you in a minute and to bring an impartation, bring grace. I just want to say this. In the Word of God, we have the gifts of the Spirit, and one of the gifts of the Spirit is prophecy, and there are many prophetic giftings. And the word that we use for gifts of the Spirit, in the Greek, it's charismata. And what that word means is a gift of grace from the Lord. It's a gift of his Spirit, a gift of grace that comes from God. And they are impartable. The Word of God tells us in Romans 1:11, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Acts 19 says, when Paul placed hands on them, the gift of the Holy Spirit came on them, and they all spoke in tongues and they prophesied. There's something about the laying on of hands. And just as a leadership team today, we just want to lay our hands on you and pray, God, increase the prophetic gifting. Increase the spirit of prophecy. Increase, God. Kind God, you're so kind. And your Bible says that you're willing to, even in our weakness, impart an increased measure of grace to hear your voice. You told us to eagerly desire the gift of prophecy. So God, tonight we just want to eagerly desire it. So what I want to do is, as we pray for you guys here tonight, I want you to come with just an open and a hungry heart saying, Lord, give me more. I would love to lay hands on every single one of you in here. So don't leave. Come on and get prayer. This is an optional prayer time. Come up. You don't have to stay long, but you got to get prayed for. We just want to pray an increase, because the more we hear God, the better off every one of us is. I'll tell you what, the more anointed you are hearing God's voice, the more you can hear it from God and help me not do nothing stupid. So it's in my best interest that you know how to prophesy. So I just want to ask that the Lord would bring an increased measure of hearing his voice so that we could know him better, so we could walk with him, we could do his will. Father, we pray in Jesus' name tonight. Bring an increased measure of your Holy Spirit. Touch us and impart tonight. Father, as we just pray, and we're going to pray simple prayers. It's going to be simple tonight. We're just going to pray simple prayers. Lay hands. I pray, God.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.